the little things in life that make me happy.
Yeah.
Alex Buskind, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Culture Time. I'm Hemal Javeri, where we do a deep dive into our favorite pop culture obsessions of the week. And today I'm talking to Alex Buskind, who is an incredible writer. His work has been featured in Rolling Stone, Vice, and the New York Times. And Alex and I used to be co-workers at AOL together. Alex, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me, Hemal.
So you're calling from the West Coast, right?
I am. I'm currently based in Los Angeles for the time being.
And how is it? Are you guys dealing with like wildfires and stuff?
We were last week. There was one only a couple miles actually from my house. I mean, it was far enough away that we weren't really in any danger. But I did get to see my first wildfire up close, which was kind of terrifying. And yeah, it was sort of mind blowing.
Yikes. So, there's definitely more pressing concerns happening in the world and happening like right outside your window. But today we're going to talk about Taylor Swift. The genesis of this started with a very civil Facebook argument that Alex and I kind of got into. But as you know, Taylor Swift has a couple of new songs out. My first question for you, Alex, is where do you come in on like the levels of Taylor Swift fandom?
Well, I definitely consider myself a Taylor Swift fan. I have seen her in concert. I listen to her music. I wouldn't consider myself an OG Taylor Swift fan. I think mm-hmm. I came in around Red. So that came out, I think, in 2012, I believe. Mm-hmm. So I think that was kind of the start of her sort of pop era music, less country, a little bit more pop. I, of course, knew some of her earlier stuff as well, but I don't think I actually really started to listen to her, or maybe electively listen to her, until Red came out. And then 1989, of course, as well, which I absolutely loved. I thought that was a really terrific pop record.
So which tour did you catch her on?
I caught her on the 1989 tour. I saw her when I was living in San Francisco. So she played the 49ers football stadium, was where I saw her.
All right. Here's my thing with Taylor. I consider myself a fan of some of her music, but I'm not sure I would go full Taylor Swift.
But my fandom for Taylor Swift feels like it has decreased a little bit over, I'd say, maybe the last couple years. And I don't know if that's tethered to me being an enormous Kanye West fan, which I am. I'm a Kanye stan, as the kids like to say.
Yeah, the kids say.
Yes. So, or if it's more connected to just sort of her public persona. So as much as I am a fan of her music, I do feel like I'm a little bit more in line with how you feel about it mm-hmm. these days and feel about her music. My fandom for her public persona has lessened, and therefore my fandom toward her music feels like it's decreased a little bit. I feel like I'm less inclined to actually listen to her than I used to. Again, that's not to say that I don't enjoy it. I still do, and I still will listen to it.
So that's really interesting, because yeah. I very much remember Taylor from her Tim McGraw days, right?
Okay.
And that was where I had first heard her, and I was okay with that Taylor, right? And she's been very good at reinventing herself for every single album, right? Or that's what it feels like. She kind of metamorphosizes, you know, she went from a country star to a very anodyne pop star. And then she had her girl power phase with Red and with 1989. And now it feels like she has transitioned into, I don't know what, right? I don't mm-hmm. know what this next iteration actually is. Is she like a bad girl now?
To be honest, I'm not sure she knows either. Or maybe she thinks she does. But, you know, I think it, and we've spoke about this before, mm-hmm. I think it's sort of her trying to play up the kind of victim card, but also sort of playing this kind of magnanimous soap opera villain a little
yeah.
bit as well. Which I sort of appreciate, because I think she's always kind of been that, and she's never really embraced it all that much. But I do... Obviously, playing the victim and playing the villainess those are both kind of at odds with each other, and it doesn't quite work, I think, with the message you're trying to put out on a record. Now, granted, maybe it'll be a little bit more clear when mm-hmm. she releases the whole album. We're, of course, basing this off of two singles, but yeah, I feel like it's kind of hard to tell what she's going for specifically at the moment, other than to say that this major pop star or other major pop stars have wronged me at some point, and I am in the right, but also I am going to get revenge on them. So it's weird that you have these two kind of, you know, polarizing, you know, you have these two opposites that are kind of fighting each other. They feel like they are fighting each other in how she's trying to portray herself at the moment.
So, but wasn't that what Bad Blood was about, right? And that was in what? That was in 1989. Is that the album that's from?
That was 1989. That's true. Although I feel like that was almost, that felt more villainy to me than anything. And maybe that just has to do with the fact that the music video was like kind of, it was literally just about burning everything to the ground.
Right.
It felt more villainy to me. And also maybe I didn't necessarily consider them at odds just because Bad Blood seems like it. I mean, obviously it was on 1989, but it feels almost a little bit separate from the rest of that album.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like it doesn't quite fit into the narrative. It sort of does, but it doesn't feel quite as, it doesn't feel like we're dealing with quite the same opposites. Now, it's possible other people see it differently, but yeah, I just feel like Bad Blood was kind of its own thing,
okay.
Separate from how she presented herself then.
I like I said, I am not super on point with like the Taylor news cycle. I just know that every time she does something, it becomes a huge event. So for her to take this very long extended social media absence, right? She was not on Twitter. She was not on Instagram. And this is, you know, very much part of Taylor's persona is her social media profiles. She she cultivates an image and a brand that people want to be a part of. And that's how her marketing is very closely tied to her music. So for her to take this long break, it means something. It's not like she just got tired of it. So when she comes back and she reinvents herself like this, is this what you expected? I will be honest. Like, I thought that we were going to get something more than here is another feud, right? I expected either maybe it's an album about love songs and heartbreak or something, but instead she's been stewing over Kanye West for 18 months. That makes that makes no sense. Like, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit, like, but with everything else going on in the world, it seems so trivial.
I think it's definitely not what, it's weird. It's like not what I expected, but it's also exactly what I expected. maybe because everything, and this isn't just relegated to Taylor Swift. I think any pop star is very much about trying to manufacture a particular brand and a particular image that they're about. You know, everyone from Beyonce to, you know, well, Kanye's a little bit different, but, you know, Beyonce to Katy Perry to whomever, you know, looks to kind of portray a particular type of image. And I don't know if maybe a Taylor feels like she's telegraphed her branding decisions a little bit more than the others, or maybe it's because I'm not quite sure what it is, but I do feel like that even when she was absent from social media, it's like she wasn't absent. It was like an anti-absence almost. It's like her being absent felt like it was a very loudly, not loudly, it felt like it was a very specific telegraphed, you know, conversation that she was trying to put out there about herself, as opposed to her trying to give herself a break from everything. It was like, I am going to do this for a couple years. I'm not going to say anything. And then I'm going to come out and like say my piece about all of these feuds that are happening, and we'll take it from there. And I guess maybe I was hoping that she was going to do something different just because she is a very good songwriter. And she is very smart about the types of music she picks for herself and music she writes. But I guess I was expecting something different, but not expecting something different. I feel like I'm kind of hemming and hawing on this, but I don't know. It's just, I guess at the very least I was expecting the two singles that came out to be enjoyable, and they don't feel all that enjoyable to me.
Yes. Before
they don't,
go ahead.
You know, I was going to say, they don't even feel, I guess the second one, what is it? Is it Ready or Not, or Ready? I shouldn't know this one. So the two singles, the first one she came out with, Look What You Made Me Do. It's that song. I just don't think is a good song. It's not all that catchy. Definitely not by pop star standards, especially not by Taylor Swift standards, but it feels a little bit all over the place. Mm-hmm. And then Ready for It was the name of the second single. And that has a pretty good chorus, but the verses have her like legitimately spitting bars, which is...
it's not her strong suit.
Not her strong suit. Taylor is talented at a lot of things. That is one thing she is not talented at. And not only that, she kind of copies a very specific, as you hear a siren probably in the background. Sorry, listeners, my window is open. But Ready for It also kind of jacks, I would assume purposefully, kind of jacks Kanye's Yeezus, opening Yeezus track.
Right, like that's supposed to be a complicated diss, play, homage?
I think so. I think she's thinking that it is. Mm-hmm. One of my friends referred to it as a Fisher Price Yeezus, which it kind of sounds like that a little bit. And it doesn't seem all that surprising that she did take that route, just because she has been kind of petty about the entire thing. And that's not to absolve Kanye for all the stuff he's done, but that's kind of another conversation. When it comes to Taylor, she has been kind of petty in this situation. And yeah, it's not surprising that she did something like this. But again, she is she's very talented. There's a reason she is at the level that she's at right now, that she's a global superstar. She's a very talented songwriter. And I expected something different, something good, something more entertaining, I guess, than this.
Well, petty is the best word for it, right? It strikes me as so much work for such a petty thing for somebody to hold on to for so long, because mm-hmm. the entire feud that we're talking about, right? Kim releases the video of her talking to Kanye. It's also the fact that she hasn't really acknowledged that she was also culpable in all of this, right? Like she's never, right? Like she's pretended to be above it for so long. What did she say? I don't want to be a part of this narrative, or whatever her famous mm-hmm. quote is from that. So at one hand, she wants to do that. But then on the other hand, she spent 18 months focusing on this particular thing. Or at least that is what these two songs sound like, right? Like that is what they directly reference. But to follow up to what we were talking about earlier, it seems even more petty when you put it into the context of world events, right? When you put it into the context of when her song dropped, was right around the time where everybody's freaking out about Hurricane Harvey hitting. We're mm-hmm. in a very tenuous political climate. There have been race riots in Charlottesville. So it feels like, in a sense, that the world has moved on to bigger things, more dramatic, meaningful conversations. But here is Taylor, and she's still holding on. She's still nursing this grudge that really just focuses on her private life, right? Like really focuses mm-hmm. on her persona. And I kind of, there's been a lot written about this, but I kind of want to get into a lot of the hot takes and a lot of the I wrote about columns are about what Taylor owes us, right? Like there's a lot of articles that were like, Taylor doesn't owe you anything, right? She doesn't mm-hmm. owe us any kind of political statement. She doesn't owe us any kind of commentary on what's happening. Her only responsibility is to herself. And then there's the flip side, which I'm very much on, which is that she doesn't owe us anything, but her refusal to, I'm not even commenting on Trump, right? But her refusal mm-hmm. to kind of dig deeper makes her art very, very superficial, because in the context of where it's happening, it doesn't seem to like hold as much weight. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I want to get your thoughts on that, especially like, I read Mark Harris's piece in Vulture that really said that the Taylor, this Reputation album was a artifact of the Trump era. And I think he made some really good points. Mm-hmm. But I know you don't agree with that.
Well, no, I actually, I do agree. I agree
with
that
some parts of it.
No, I actually think you can agree, especially after, I've spent the last week or so kind of rereading those pieces, both Mark Harris's piece and the piece we were originally discussing on our Facebook thread from The Ringer, from Justin Charity. And I actually think, I don't think those pieces are necessarily critiquing opposite sides, mm-hmm. Or taking opposite sides. Mm-hmm. I think on one hand, Mark is talking about, stuff that history, what does he say? He says, what about the stuff that history will record as epitomizing our time rather than raising a fist against it? Mm-hmm. So he talks about Taylor Swift and Reputation and the two singles that she put out as epitomizing this particular era. And he kind of states that, you know, she doesn't necessarily owe anybody anything. I do think he kind of makes the point that it would be nice if she did say it. But
yeah.
I, you know, say something mm-hmm. about our political climate or, you know, not even Trump, like you said, but even something as, you know, something along the lines of, you know, the hurricane crisis or I don't know, you know, something that's going on in current events that it would be nice for her to take a stand on stuff. But I don't think Mark even necessarily takes it that far, whereas Justin in his Ringer piece, which mm-hmm. I do more side with, he talks about, while, yeah, sure, it would be great if Taylor said something, her saying something is not going to get us what we think we want out of Taylor saying something. And I agree with that in a sense that I think it's kind of wrapped up in this idea that because Taylor has an enormous audience, has one of the biggest audiences in the world, that her saying something, I think, will somehow make a difference for the way people feel about this particular climate at the moment. Now that, again, that's separate, I think, from should she say something or will she say something or anything like that. My feeling is even if she did say something, I don't think it's going to get us to a place where we want to be at. I feel like people have been wanting Taylor to say something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's connected to her sort of kind of faux feminist girl squad kind of, you know, take on things. And maybe this is, maybe it's cynical of me just because I've always saw that as kind of being sort of telegraphed as part of her brand, as opposed to not being necessarily something she believed in. I mean, I truly believe that we don't really know what Taylor believes in at all. Like,
yes,
you know, even on the feminist side, you know, she's kind of mentioned all that stuff, but we don't really know her.
Well, that's a good question because, I agree with your points, right? I agree with this, and I definitely a little bit more on the Mark Harris side, but from what you just said directly, how does that impact the authenticity of her music? Because we don't know anything about her, but she wants us to take her not only seriously, but sincerely, right? All of her actions are supposed to be viewed with sincerity, from the social media stuff to all of her music, because so much of it is on heartbreak and her emotions and her as a person. So she's really inviting listeners into the Taylor Swift personality, right? She's really inviting people into her life. So when you compare that with that's how she's making her money and that's her brand to we don't really know what she thinks. Like, is there any authenticity in it?
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I mean, I will say I find that when she writes about heartbreak and she writes about, you know, previous relationships and the pain and pleasures that it caused, I find that to be authentic because it feels authentic because I think it is authentic. I think, you know, she's writing about real relationships specifically because a lot of the time she's writing about famous people and we know about these relationships, at least on some kind of voyeuristic paparazzi, you know, type relationship to them. And so I find that part to be authentic, but my thinking is that the kind of feminist first thing that feels a little bit separate from her song, you know, songwriting about heartbreak. That felt like more of her like Instagram persona and her like social media brand.
Yeah.
So by her not actually talking about this stuff, I don't think that necessarily puts a different light on the thing she's already sung about. If she had already sung about or written about politics or current events or you know, made a passionate plea for, you know, anything regarding, you know, the federal government or anything like that, I think then we could maybe take a different look at the way she's handling or I guess not handling our current situation in America. But I think because she's mostly just written about heartbreak and that's been, and I don't want to say that's the only thing she's written about, but that's what she's mostly known for. I don't think it's, I guess I don't view those songs through a different lens just because I find them to be separate from everything else that we're experiencing in this country right now.
Yeah. To me, it is a little bit different though, because I feel like we have changed so dramatically since not even Trump got elected, but even before that, right? When we were in such a tenuous election climate. And it's it feels like it's only gotten worse. And so that to me has changed the perspective of all kinds of art. And the old Taylor, right, the apolitical Taylor who didn't speak out about even Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, she has been apolitical forever. Yeah. It is more about the lens with which we view her public persona and her art, right? That has shifted dramatically. Taylor yeah. is almost the same as she has always been, right? She's still, she in a weird way just seems like a kid still in high school who has not grown up, doesn't really want to deal with the real world, and is going to leave that to the adults while she focuses all of her self-worth and stuff internally, right? Her locus is always going to be on her. That refusal to kind of engage with anything outside of the Taylor sphere is something that I find incredibly frustrating. Like, Beyonce, for a while, I would say was accused of that too, right? Mm-hmm. She very much, you know, was Beyonce the pop star. And then in, you know, with Lemonade, Formation, she became very political. And it was huge growth for her as an artist. And I don't see any of that happening with Taylor Swift. And that might be what is so frustrating to me is, you know, we go back to the spoken word thing with Taylor, where she's like, the old Taylor is dead. And it doesn't mean anything. Like, it's so laughable because there is no new Taylor. This is just a weak iteration of what she was before. So even taking, like, her refusal to speak out about Trump, like, we'll get back to that in a minute. But her breathless, like, you know, this is the new me. Is that parody? It almost sounds like. She can't be serious. Like, she can't take this seriously because it seems, you know, how come no one has told her that?
Right, of course. I think it almost gets into a conversation of if it is parody, like, it's almost like what is parody and what isn't parody. Like, at some point, do you just become a parody of yourself if you're not actually meaning it? I would say it is parody just because of the music video that accompanied it, where you have all those different personas of Taylor fighting each other at the end of it.
Yes.
It's almost like there's like kind of, I think she means for there to be some type of truth in it, but for the most part, she's trying to take down her persona, her public persona, or her reputation as, you know, to put it in her album titles terms, as sort of a way to kind of wink at this sort of image that we all see of her. I think she probably thinks it's the parody is probably more clever than it really is.
Yes.
I don't think it's all that clever to begin with, but you know, I have a question for you though. What about, so my thinking is like, what if we assume that Taylor is not political at all? Like,
okay.
And for the most part, I would say Americans on the whole, you know, a lot of Americans just aren't all that political. They don't necessarily follow the news. You know, they follow it, but, you know, it's not part of their day-to-day, you know, bubble. If we assume Taylor is like that, even in this, you know, particularly harrowing time, do we want her talking about this stuff? Do we want her to talk about something that she isn't necessarily informed about, or do we want her to, you know, I don't know. Do we expect someone who might not be completely political to stand up and say something that maybe she's either not knowledgeable about or doesn't really know about?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a bunch of, I'm supposing a lot of things right now. Obviously I don't know if Taylor's political or not, but I'm curious to know how you feel about that.
So I love that question. So my take on it is, especially from a personal standpoint and as a, you know, a person in the media, at this point, to be apolitical is one kind of a political statement, but she can only be apolitical because of her immense privilege, right? She has... she has wealth, she has fame, she's a white woman living in the world, so she can kind of afford to take a step back because none of her rights are being threatened. None of these issues affect her directly. So I find that very frustrating, right? For me, I want Taylor to grow up. I want her to become a real person and engage with the world. Even if she came out as a Trump supporter, I would support that because I think that as a citizen... you know, as a citizen of the U.S., as a citizen of the world, and she has such, she has this huge platform on which she stands. For her to just use it to sell records and, you know, do that, it feels like she's missing this huge opportunity. But a lot of people have also said that, you know, it's true, like maybe that art should exist in kind of a vacuum. I feel the same way about Taylor that I do about Tom Brady, which is that he is somebody who, you know, Tom Brady went out and he put like the Make America Great hat again on his locker room. So it looked like he was making a very clear statement, but then refuses to kind of verbally say one way or the other if he supports Trump, doesn't come out, doesn't say anything political, right? Because a lot of people just don't want the hassle. Tom Brady just wants to win. And I feel it's the same way about Taylor Swift. Like Taylor Swift just wants to be the brand Taylor Swift. Tom Brady just wants to sell his meal kits and win Super Bowls and Tom Brady pajamas. But at the exclusion of everything else happening, so that makes them, to me, feel very selfish. Like their refusal to engage in this, you know, and to be apolitical. It's not that I don't understand it, but it makes me like them a lot less.
I definitely understand that that take. And I think with Tom Brady, I would say, and you mentioned it, I think his situation is a little more egregious just because he literally put that hat in his locker. And it's not even just because it was a Trump hat. If he put a Hillary hat up there and then refused to talk about anything after that, and just to give no comments when it came to political stuff, I thought that would be kind of a cop-out too. Yes. That would be egregious. Now, do I find it I will say I do find it a bit frustrating that Taylor, and maybe I should, you know, full disclosure, I did vote for Hillary. I am against the Trump administration. So maybe I should put that out there. But while I do find it a little frustrating that Taylor hasn't said anything or done anything, considering her, you know, again, huge audience that she has, I just don't think, and this echoes the point that Justin made in his Ringer piece, I don't think her saying anything is going to make much of a difference. And when I say difference, not necessarily, you know, her saying anything isn't going to take Trump down or anything like that. You know, I just think that particularly, you know, fans of Taylor Swift or fans of pop music, I just don't think they, you know, they don't live in a vacuum as much as they used to. They get their information from everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think her coming out and saying something that something that could be seen as anti-Trump or pro-Trump when she has never actually even made a statement like that in the past. I just don't, basically my point is I just don't think it matters if Taylor comes out and says anything or not. It doesn't matter to me because I've never held her to a standard, you know, to a standard of coming out and being like, I am, you know, for this particular, policy or against this particular policy. Now, I know being in the Trump, you know, in the Trump era, it's a little bit harder to view anything.
Yes.
It's a lot harder to view anything as being separated from that. Mm-hmm. But it's possible, you know, maybe I'm just working this out as I'm talking right now, but it's possible I just view her music as pop music and the way she has interacted with her public as it being its own separate independent thing and leaving it at that. It's like, I agree that yes, I wish, you know, it would be nice for her to come out and say it. I just don't expect her to, and or don't in the end really put stock in it or care about it, I guess.
That had she released better songs, I would have given her a total pass. I think part of it,
it's true,
is that these songs aren't good. Like,
that's a good point.
You know, if she had come out and she'd been like, yeah, I just spent 18 months recovering from a heartbreak, or I have some very deeply personal songs that aren't just aren't just like a long-held grudge against Kanye West, who has moved on with his life and has kids and is completely on a different plane at this point. Like, if she had songs about that, I would have given her a total pass. Like, I think part of the problem is that she just put out some bad music, and she put out bad music at a time that people are expecting a lot more from her. And I think that has to do with that too. My expectations for Taylor were that she had grown up, that she had taken this time and she had grown up. And it's very disappointing that she seems to be stuck in the same groove that she was before.
So, no, it's a good point.
So my last question for you, we've kind of, you know, we see pop stars transcend, metamorphosize to different mm-hmm. levels. Like Beyonce was always hugely popular, but now she's being seen as a like a feminist icon and as an empower. Her music is viewed as empowering. Mm-hmm. Justin Timberlake kind of went from, what was it, NSYNC, right?
Yes.
So he went from NSYNC to being like a legitimate recording artist. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for that next level for Taylor. Like, I know she is the most popular, you know, singer in the world or whatever it is, and she's got legions of fans, but I feel like I'm waiting for her to grow up. Like, do mm-hmm. you think that there's a level for Taylor to get to, like a more mature level?
Yes, I think there is, just because I know she's a great songwriter, and in the end, no matter what type of persona or sound you are transforming into or trying out, you know, the songs are songs. They're going to have, you know, good songs are going to have some type of similar structure. She knows how to create a good, catchy song. And I think there's a way to do that while still, you know, being more, I guess, open to different types of music, to mm-hmm. experimenting in different types of ways. You know, you mentioned Beyonce. You see it with Beyonce. You've seen it with, trying to think of another good example of a pop star. I mean, Kanye is a good example just because he literally deconstructs everything that he does mm-hmm. and creates almost an entirely new sound on his own. I think part of it might have to do, when it comes with Taylor, to picking the right collaborators. You know, as much as I think of Jack Antonoff and mm-hmm. how talented he is and the other folks she works with, she's still working with Jack Antonoff. You know, she literally just wrote an entire album with the guy. And, you know, he has a very specific sound that he's been going for, you know, for his entire career. And I think if she really wants to step outside of the box, you know, go work with someone else. Go work with a different producer. Go work with a different songwriter. Go seek out different parties. You know, you took a few years off. Why don't you go try and challenge yourself a little bit more? And maybe she thinks she is challenging herself because, mm-hmm. again, I guess, you know, the stuff she is trying, I guess, is new in a sense. She is, you know, well, maybe new in bad ways. You know, she's rapping and maybe not coming up with the catchiest of music. So maybe she thinks she is kind of taking that step forward.
Yes.
But clearly it's not working for her at the moment. And I will say, you know, the big caveat here is,
We have not heard the album, right?
We've only heard two singles.
Right.
And they are supposed to be the, you know, when you release, particularly the way she's kind of rolling out the album, she's kind of doing it in a way that is a little bit more stereotypical from, mm-hmm. You know, pre-digital generation of rolling albums out. You know, when you roll out a single or the first two big singles, they are supposed to be a hint of what's to come. So, mm-hmm. you know, if this is what's to come on her album, it sucks, you know, it's not good. It's not good for Taylor fans, but to be honest, it's also not good for the music world at large. I think it's more interesting when artists are making more interesting music, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, Katy Perry is a good example of someone who has made great and really catchy music in the past, but her last album is kind of whatever, you know, it's kind of blah.
And she went full political, right?
She was like,
I'm woke. Absolutely. And it's bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, in the end, you're only as good as the art you're putting out mm-hmm. when it comes to these artists. So I'm kind of forgetting your original question here.
No. I think that's it. I mean, I think that's actually, you really just nailed it, which is that you're really only as good as the art you're putting out. And I think that's exactly how I feel about Taylor, because I don't have any problem with the cheesy saccharine pop songs. I love song she did with Ed Sheeran. Like, it doesn't bother me that she's apolitical. I think mm-hmm. it just bothers me that her art is just bad art. This mm-hmm. I feel like this has been therapy for me. I'm like, I am now working through all my Taylor Swift feelings.
I think we're both doing that.
Yeah.
Here. I do hope that she tries to be maybe not experimental. Experimental is not the right word because she's kind of being experimental at the moment, but I do hope she takes chances in a way that feel risky you know, I guess good.
Yeah.
or,
Taylor, if you're listening, just break out of your bubble a little bit. Break out of that Taylor bubble. I think it would be very good for you.
Taylor, give us a call. We're happy to talk to you. Although I'm not, this isn't my podcast. I'm inviting you on. Sorry, Hemel would have to invite you on, but yes. Taylor,
no, absolutely. Anytime. Yeah. Alex, thank you so much for hopping on and talking to me. I am on Twitter at HemJaveri, so you can shoot us questions or yell at us about Taylor Swift if you want. Alex, you're on Instagram. What's your handle?
I am on Instagram. It's Alex Suskind, so AlexSuskind.
Yes, and if you want to pay Alex to write for your website, you definitely should. Thanks again,
giving
Alex.
Giving a big thumbs up right now, so yes.
Thanks again to Alex, and thank you guys for listening, and we will see you next week.